As the world celebrates Pride Month 2022, Estonia marks 30 years since the decriminalization of homosexual relations between men. The persecution and criminalization of homosexuality was common in the USSR, spreading to Estonia with the Soviet occupation in 1940. Today, Estonia ranks 21st in Europe in LGBT rights legislation, according to the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans, and Intersex Association, and is considered to be one of the more LGBTQ+ friendly post-Soviet countries. Hello, my name is Terry McDonald, and this is the Tallinn University Podcast. Even though it may be argued that these legal persecutions have been superimposed by occupying regimes, the roots of this persecution and the remnants are still noticeable throughout Estonian society, with LGBTQ+ rights spiking controversy among governing parties and citizens alike. As the topic continues to be used as a scare tactic in the rhetoric of local populist parties, it is evident that these rights remain a hot-button topic to this day. Today, in our Pride Month special episode, we are joined by Anett Maletjärv, cooperation officer in the Estonian LGBT Association, to discuss the history of the LGBTQ+ movement in Estonia, where it started, what it has achieved, and what we can hope to see in the future. Hope you enjoy our conversation. And we're here with Anett Maletjärv. Anett is the cooperation officer with the Estonian LGBT Association. Welcome to the Tallinn University Podcast, Anett.
Hi, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So, traditionally, like historically, how has the LGBT+ community been treated in Estonia?
Well, the history of LGBT+ community and rights in Estonia is quite under research. Right now, we have a bit more research coming up in the recent year. And right now, with the association, we also have a project to collect the microhistories of LGBT+ community and rights. But yeah, I just want to get this out of the way that we only have a limited amount of information. So before the Soviet Union, we don't have a lot of sources on what was the, or even before the re-independence of Estonia, we don't have a lot of sources on what the life was like for LGBT+ people in Estonia. We do know that when Estonia gained its independence, then homosexuality was decriminalized for the first time, which was, I can't think of the year right now, but that was, yeah, back in 1930s, which meant that Estonia was one of the first countries in Europe that decriminalized homosexuality. But then with the Soviet Union, homosexuality was criminalized again, which meant that it was, which means then sex or sexual relationships between two men, which meant it was impossible to talk about homosexuality in public. We don't have a lot of stories. We have maybe from criminal records, if somebody got arrested or put into jail for being gay, etc. So obviously it wasn't good. Everybody who were LGBT+ were in the closet. So again, we do have some information on gay men because of the said law and the records of arrests, etc. But we don't have almost any sources about lesbians or trans people. Then in, I'm gonna get the year correct. I think it was in 1989 or 90. In 1989, the LGBT+ people started gathering, or they wanted to collect stories from the 20s and 30s. So they made a post in the newspaper to look for older lesbians. But then some lesbians started writing to them, or queer women who were younger. But that meant that they gained a community. And then in 1990, the Estonian Lesbian Union was formed. And afterwards, also the Estonian Gay League, for gay men was formed. So what the activists back then did, one of the starting points was because of the AIDS epidemic, there was a very, very homophobic article written in the newspaper. So the head of Estonian Lesbian Union, Lilian Kotter, decided to write an article about it to really debunk the myths. And that's kind of how the LGBT plus activism got started. Also then on the 1st of June, 1992, Estonia decriminalized again homosexuality. And the day before that, on the 31st of May, the Gay League, together with the Lesbian Union, organized a big liberation party together and kind of danced themselves free overnight, you know, because at 12 a.m. at midnight, homosexuality was legal, you know, or well, decriminalized.
Yeah.
So they celebrated this transition from being illegal criminals to being free to be who they are. And then also from what I heard from Lilian Kotter is that back in the 90s, it was even actually quite liberal, the attitudes, and quite modern in a way that Estonia had just gained independence. Mm-hmm. We wanted to be very Western or more Western looking. We didn't want to be associated with Russia or Soviet Union. So it was very much that the LGBT plus community and gay people were kind of part of that, you know, of something that's liberal, new, modern. So the attitudes back then, of course, there was more ignorance and less knowledge available, but in general, there was also less conservative values and attitudes that we do have right now. And then in 93, the first article was, or in the 93, what we know for the first time, a same-sex couple was fighting or requested to right to get married. So it was also big in the news that lesbians want to get married in Estonia. And there were, on this article, they had like photos of naked women and very fetishizing and very, very 90s. So that's the first record that we have, I think, of LGBT plus people or same-sex couples wanting to get married in Estonia. And while decriminalization was, there wasn't much fuss over it, and it was just like done. We're European, it's done. Mm-hmm. And with the same-sex marriage, it wasn't even on the table. It was just disregarded, and it wasn't that possible. So over the years, I feel the attitudes have changed. Definitely the representation in media and the overall attitude of the public, when we look just at the statistic of how many people, I don't know, accept LGBT plus people as who they are, the percentage has increased, definitely, but I would say that there in the recent years has been a lot of polarization and also increase of conservative thoughts, values, etc., or even homophobic incidents, attacks, compared than maybe like even like 5-6 years ago. I mean, it's definitely better than saying that year 2005 or 6, but yeah. Right now I would say it's more polarized than, for example, in the year 2014 or 13.
Well, what do you think has led to this backsliding?
I think definitely the fuss that was made around the Civil Partnership Act.
Can you tell us about that?
So I don't even remember when the discussions around the act started, but in 2014, there were the readings. And then the Catholic or the conservative groups became very loud because they were very, very much against it. They held huge protests. They gathered signatures. They sent free materials to people's inboxes, you know, to say why gay is not okay, basically. So then there was a lot of opposition to the Civil Partnership Act. And when it was passed, well, we have now 8 years ago, the Civil Partnership Act was passed, but we don't still have the Application Act. So it's kind of a semi-law that was passed that technically it's possible. And it is if you go through notar. I don't know how is it in...
A notary?
A notary, yeah. But, you know, same-sex couples with kids or families still don't have the same rights as married straight couples. So yeah, I think around that time, 2014, also 15, when ECRE became more prominent, both with the Civil Partnership Act and traditional family values, but also with the refugee crisis. So they really got momentum in 2014-15, and they started really working against LGBT plus people. And then in 2019, when ECRE got into the government, I would say we see the highest increase in LGBT phobia in the last, maybe, I would say it was going progressively forwards, and then it started going backwards because they started, you know, suddenly you have ministers or people in the parliament, people in the government who are in their speeches actively being homophobic. When you have a minister or inferior affairs who says that gay people should move to Sweden, then the people in the country also think that it's okay to say stuff like that to people on the streets. So I would, last summer we had, maybe it's also because of social media, but last summer we had a lot of hate crimes in Tallinn. And again, maybe it's because people now are more courageous and they talk loudly in public about it. Maybe it's because they take videos and photos and post them on social media. But last summer it was really a lot of hate crimes in Tallinn, even in the, so to say, nice neighborhoods, maybe, against LGBT plus people. So I would say it's really polarized. Right now we have more people who, the general population's attitudes have gone more supporting, but the ones who are really against it and really homophobic, I would say, have gone stronger, and they have also increased their, so to say, power.
Okay, well, you've mentioned decriminalization and the Civil Partnership Act. Are there any other milestones that the movement has achieved?
I'd say there sure are some laws that have been passed and that are kind of milestones, but I can't think on the top of my head that have been that influential, I would say, or that important for us. I think it, well, in 90s, in 30 years ago, also the first trans person in Estonia got the permission to go through a transition and start hormones. So that's also huge. But with that as well, the current law for medical and legal transition is from the year 99, and those processes are still connected. So if a person wants to change their legal gender marker, they first have to start a medical transition, which many trans people don't want to do, not all, but many. Yeah. And also in Estonia, you have to go in front of a committee of medical experts, like sexologists, gynecologists, psychiatrists, and basically prove to them that you are trans. And then they give you the diagnosis of transsexualism, which is an outdated and offensive term nowadays. And only then people can start their journey. So that's definitely a law that needs to be updated, and that has, right now we see that within the laws and LGBT plus rights, there has been a pause of no progress forwards, and there's really this kind of,
Well, besides this issue, what other issues is the movement concerned with right now in Estonia?
Yeah, as I said, the transition laws also. Same-sex marriage. We don't even have the Civil Partnership Act additional laws yet. But as I said, already in 93, same-sex couples in Estonia wanted to get married, and right now it's still not possible. The discussion became more prominent in 2020 when ECRE wanted to make a referendum to make it. To add it into the constitution that marriage is between a man and a woman, because right now it's in the family law, but not in the constitution. So that's definitely something that we are aiming forward, that it's possible for same-sex couples to get married. Because right now, you know, it's not that there are no couples who have kids or who need protection and who need the same kinds of rights, protection and benefits as heterosexual couples. And families. So So that's definitely something we're working forward. And I mean, right now, the main concern is in general the political situation, as right now we are in a coalition crisis and we are not sure who will be in the government in the next weeks, months, till the elections. And we're also not sure what happens after the election. So that actually matters a lot, because if it's going to be homophobic, disregard that, don't quote me on that, but if there's going to be ECRE in the government again, then that's for sure that we cannot do our job the same way as we did before. And then it will be mostly about maintaining the status quo rather than right now we would really try to. Right now the status quo has been standing too long and we would like to keep progressing, but then it's kind of trying to make sure that no rights will be taken away from us.
Why do you think that the ECRE party has focused so much on LGBT plus rights and people? And what has that meant to these people in Estonia?
I think, again, that's the problem that LGBT plus people have made into this political topic, this political toy. They don't see us as people. They try to frame us as ideology or as a threat to the traditional family. So that's why, and because it's such a sensationalized topic, because when people think about homosexuality, they hear the word sex, they start thinking about, I don't know, sex between same-sex couple, and they are disgusted of it or thinking about it. Meanwhile, in reality, you know, LGBT plus people are so much more than that. And it's not only about that one thing. It's mostly about just love, acceptance, care, community, just being the same people like everybody. But I feel that's because people have those because people have those stereotypes of LGBT plus people right now, then I feel the conservatives really want to use this and use us as political kind of toys in a way to get more votes. I feel it's simple as that.
Well, on a happier note, it is Pride Month. How did Pride get started here in Estonia?
Pride got started. I think I have to check the year again because I'm bad with numbers. I think, it was 2004. Yep. In 2004, we had the Estonian Gay League and an organization called Mea Culpa, which was a new lesbian organization. And, Mea Culpa organized the first parade, Baltic Moonbow Pride. So that was 2004. There wasn't a lot of people, I think, who participated. They also had the Pride, I think, in 2005 and 2007. And then, in 2007... Or was it 2006 and 7? But yeah, from 2004 and 2007, in 3 years, they had the Pride Parade. But in the last one, there was a lot of opposition, a lot of violence. I think it was maybe 50 people marching, 100. And there were more, from what I heard, I think like counter-protesters, there were like rocks, eggs were thrown. Right. So 2000 was the last Pride that they organized because of safety reasons. But next year, they just didn't want to do it anymore. So then, and then in 2009, Estonian gay youth, which then grew into Estonian LGBT Association, together with Latvian and Lithuanian organizations, decided to start Baltic Pride, which means to have a pride each year in one of the three countries. Okay. So 2009, the first one, I think, was in Latvia, then in 2010 in Lithuania, and then 2011, we had a Baltic Pride Festival in Estonia. There was no Pride Parade, but there were different cultural activities and the concert. The same goes for 2014 in Estonia. There was this Baltic Pride concert and the festival. But then in 2017, Pride Parade took place again after 10 years in Tallinn. And that was a big one for us, because again, in 2007, I think it was like 50-100 people, and that one we had almost 2,000 participants. We had like 1,800. And I remember going there as well. Like that was my first Pride parade ever in my own hometown, and I was so surprised and so happy to see how many people came.
Yeah, I was there. It was quite an event.
Yep. So that was great. And now after that also, well, 2020 Baltic Pride got cancelled for obvious reasons, or well, there was some virtual stuff happening. Last year I organized a Pride bike ride. I wasn't working at the association yet, but I just felt that the community wanted, after the restrictions ended, to have some kind of a Pride event to come together. So we had it in the form of a bike ride, because the local municipal elections were coming. So we also wanted to draw attention on the city level issues. Mm-hmm. And now this year we're having, for the first time, a Pride parade in Tartu.
Okay. So what else is happening this year? If people wanted to be participating in Pride here and in Tartu, what's going on?
Yeah, so basically one of my jobs at the association is creating and coordinating this network of LGBT plus groups and activists. Okay. So we were discussing with them that we would want to organize Pride together with them, because also the reason, like, to be completely honest, the association didn't organize Prides every year, which the community wanted a lot, was because we don't have enough capacities and resources to do that. So this time we saw that the community really wants a Pride that's in Estonia. Mm-hmm. And I was talking with the network and different LGBT plus groups and activists, and they suggested that they really wanted to do it in Tartu, also drawing inspiration from last year's Kaunas Pride, which was the first time in Lithuania, I think first time, I'm not sure, when they had a Pride in a city that wasn't in the capital.
Okay.
So as Tartu is kind of the Estonian Kaunas, then we wanted to have it there, especially coming back to the history that the LGBT association got when Tallinn Gay Youth and Tartu Gay Youth got together and formed this one organization.
Okay.
So in Tartu, there was also quite some activism and also parties, which are still going on nowadays, or that parties that got started, the Vikerraam parties that are right now in Tartu very popular. So yes, sorry. Long story short, together with the Tartu LGBT plus NGO, and together with Vikerraam, we decided to organize a Pride parade in Tartu to give something for the local community there. Especially keeping in mind that when the marriage referendum talks were going on, then the Tartu, I think, city council members or city government members, together with local activists, were the one who had demonstrations against the No, they had demonstration. They had the good mood demonstrations for LGBT plus rights and for marriage equality. So, because we have seen that in Tartu, there are a lot of people who support LGBT plus rights. We want to do it in Tartu this year.
Okay, that's nice. So, what do you see as the future of the LGBT plus movement in Estonia?
Again, it depends a lot who will be in the government.
Okay.
But right now, the way I see it, that from my perspective as the coordinator of the network, I see a rise in LGBT plus activists and groups and organizations. I feel it would be very good if we would have more queer and LGBT organizations, because right now it's us, and it's Feministerium, who's a queer feminist organization. So I think the more of us there are, the stronger we are. And also, we continue our advocacy work and try to achieve that marriage equality will become possible one day, as well as improving the situation for trans people in Estonia. So that's what we're looking forward.
All right. Well, for one last question. Now, if people do want to be good allies to this movement, what can they do?
You can donate to us. that's definitely something to do, as often NGOs are, and especially LGBT activism is underfunded. So you can donate to us. You can also spread the word and just share information with people and start those discussions within your families, with your friends. Call someone out when they are being homophobic. Educate yourself on those issues and about the different identities within the LGBT plus community. And if you have any LGBT plus friends, just support them and make sure that they feel safe and comfortable. I feel there are definitely many ways you can do that. And go to different LGBT plus events, not only LGBT associations events, but also drag events, all kinds of events, and support the local community by that.
And where can people find out more information about these events and such?
You can check our page at the Estonian LGBT Association, and also subscribe to our newsletter, where each month we post about different LGBT plus events going around in Estonia.
Fantastic. Well, happy Pride, Annette. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, happy Pride. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us again. And this is going to be our final episode of our second season. So thank you very much to everyone who has been giving us those clicks all along from all around the world. We really appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing you again next season. We are brought to you, as always, by the Tallinn University School of Governance, Law and Society, and the Baltic Film, Media and Arts School here at TLU. Our producer is Alvo Ulvik. Our research coordinator was Vega Simoloway. And we've had additional contributions by Aniruta Inamdar, Jana Levitinia, Kano Yusui, Katrin Helen Kasavandik, Temitopi Aluko. And today's episode, we've had additional producing from Johanna Ronman. Theme song is Ghost of 68 by myself and Paul Simmons. We had additional music. It's composed by and performed by myself or Abo. You can find us on Twitter at Tallinn Podcast and Facebook and Instagram at TLU Podcast. Once again, we want to thank you for listening to our second season. We look forward to seeing you again in the fall. Have a wonderful summer, everyone.